You're listening to The Place Where Sports Opinions Collide. I am your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the line is FIFO. FIFO, what up?
Yo, what it do?
Chilling. And BC, B, what up?
What up? Special playoff Dead End Sports Edition. You know what I'm saying? Twice in 1 week.
Twice is nice, you know, right, as they say. Yeah, a lot happened. You know, for those of you that listen to the Tuesday show, we just kind of went through a playoff preview, and we wanted to wait until the bracket was set before we came back with our predictions for the first round. So basically the way we're going to do it this year is we're just going to go round by round all the way to the finals, and we'll predict the winner for each one. So that'll be it for this year. A lot happened last night, but there were just a couple of things of note. So as we discussed Tuesday, there was a play-in game. And what I found interesting about the playoff play-in game, as a side note, is that they asked LeBron about teams actually playing to get in, and he said it was corny, it was whack. And here we are basically having two teams fight to get in the playoffs. The two teams are the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Minnesota Timberwolves were at home, and the game required overtime for them to win that game. And the Timberwolves broke their 14-year playoff drought.
14-year.
Yeah, they won 112-106. One of the things that I want to say FIFO pointed out was Jimmy Butler. And in the playoffs, Jimmy Butler scored 7 of their 11 points. So he was a key factor, as FIFO predicted, instead he would be. But it was a great game. Just real quick, wanted to get your thoughts on the game last night. What did you think about it, B? I know we were testing back and forth, but what did you think about the game overall?
A great game. It was the reason why I was anticipating on watching this game. I mean, it was a simple, you win. It couldn't get more simpler than that between Denver and Minnesota. You know, the winner is playing, is going to be heading to Houston for the start of what we think is probably not going to be a 7-game series, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I just love the intensity. To me, it was like last night with that particular game, it felt like an extension of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It just had that feeling because, you know, you did, both teams knew that, look, this whoever wins this game, we know we pretty much going to, you know, go out and whoever loses is going fishing. So, you know, it was just all about determination and will, who wanted it more. And I'm glad it took for it to go in overtime for us to determine that. It was a great game. It was a pretty fast paced game for the most part, which was cool. But yeah, man, both teams was healthy. Like when nobody really like injured, when nobody was missing a superstar or nothing like that. So it was like, look, both teams healthy. We laying this all on the line. Winner will have a chance to be alive and play in the NBA tournament, the playoffs. So yeah, I thought it was great, man. I thought it was a good extension of the playoffs to kind of get us ready in the playoff mode, because it definitely had that intensity of a playoff game.
What about you, FIFO? You got anything to add?
My bad. Honestly, I didn't get to watch the game. Okay. I had to work last night. Yeah, but I saw the highlights, and I also looked at the box score. And look, at the end of the day, man, I watch enough basketball throughout the season to make these type of predictions. When I tell you Jimmy's going to do something, when I tell you that this guy is the best passer or whatever, I'm not just pulling that stuff out the air. Like I really watch a lot of basketball. And especially with Minnesota being home, I knew that they were going to win. And the way I like to look at matchups is, who's the best player on the court, right? Who has the best players? Who has the most talent? And when you look at Denver, they've been in a state of transition ever since that Carmelo trade. So for me, when I look at Kat, when I look at Jimmy, I don't see Denver matching that. You know, and then just even going into that first round, you know, Minnesota's going to give Houston a lot. You know what I'm saying? I know B said, oh, I don't think it's going to be 7 games, but tell you, man, Minnesota's nice. I think that they need this experience. They needed to end that 14-year drought. Because think about it. The last time we seen these guys in the playoffs, man, they had Latrell Sprewell and Sam Cassell and Kevin Garnett.
That's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
They went to the West Final. They was in the West Final.
Yep. So, you know, for me, man, looking at Minnesota, I'm happy that they made it. They needed to make it to validate the moves that they made this year, that Tom Thibodeau made, in terms of trading a Zach LaVine, getting a Taj Gibson, bringing in a Jimmy Butler. He kept enough young talent, but also brought in that veteran talent with Jeff Teague. And he played, he was an integral part last night as well. I believe he scored like 17 points. Andrew Wiggins showed up 18 points. But man, I'm just excited. I'm excited for Cat to become a household name. You know, I think this is what's going to catapult and springboard his career.
Yeah, just to kind of add on to what B was saying about the play of the game, it was physical. They didn't call a lot of fouls, and there were fouls that they could have called, fouls that they made all year long. But like B said, man, they were setting the tone for the playoffs. And that's, you know, I kind of tweeted that. I'm like, this is good for the Timberwolves to get ready for what's going to come, because that's what playoff basketball is all about. And and one of the things that stood out to me was Cat. He was big, obviously, throughout the game in stretches, but he was somewhat absent down the stretch, even though he made certain big plays down the stretch. So his impact was felt, like the rebound that he got. You know, that was a huge rebound to sort of basically seal the game for them, but they didn't really run a lot of plays for him. What I found weird and odd, even though I kind of understood what they were going for, was they were running a lot of pick and roll to try to get the switch, gets Jokic to switch on Teague so Teague can take him one-on-one. And it just wasn't working. And I'm like, you got Cat, you got Butler. Like, if you're going to go down with your guys. But nevertheless, you know, they managed to pull it out. And I think on the Nuggets side, I think Gary Harris could have played more. The thing about the Nuggets is they kept bringing in good player after good player after good player, but what they lack is that real superstar. Now, Jokic, I mean, this dude got off in the third quarter. He went for like 17 points. He was 7-7, you know, in the quarter, and everything he put up went in. Like, he was flat out on fire. Well, what happened in the fourth quarter was Gibson happened. Taj Gibson got on him, and the man didn't score for the rest of the game. I think he was just miss after miss after miss. And obviously the Nuggets had a chance to win the game. And, you know, as you guys may have watched or you guys may have seen on the highlights, Gibson came up with a huge defensive steal and basically preserved the game for the Wolves. And that's veterans, man. That's the veteran leadership. That's the guy that's been here and done that. And that's what you need, and that's what you get with those guys. But when you look at Mike Malone, like Jamal Murray, man, like, that dude got hot, like, and he tied the game, and I think he had a tough basket, and they just kind of went away from him. But nevertheless, it was a good game. It was very, very intense, and it was an entertaining watch, and it really set the tone for what's coming up this weekend. All right, so before we move on to the playoffs, one final thing. As you guys know, Russell Westbrook recorded 20 rebounds and 19 assists last night to go along with 6 points. He only needed 16 rebounds to record a second triple-double, the second year in a row of averaging a triple-double, and he got 20. It was a weird game offensively for him, but nevertheless, he only needed 16 rebounds, and he got it. There's a lot of back and forth. Obviously, we knew he was going to go for it. We talked about it on this show Tuesday. And there have been some criticisms. There were criticism before, and there were criticism afterwards because of the parting of the ways for or his teammates basically just giving him rebounds. And the fact that Russell Westbrook actually wanted to go for the triple-double. So I wanted to ask you guys, I was just thinking about this and thinking about everybody that was criticizing his brother. What would you do? Like, what would they do if they had a chance to do something that's never been done before, and all you needed to do was to get this one thing. So my question is, if you guys were Westbrook, would you guys have went for the triple-double if it was right there in the last game of the season?
You damn right. You damn right. Like, look, man, how do you become a legend in a sport? You have to set record. You have to break records. You have to set records. You have to create a brand. And Russell Westbrook has done that. You know, as much as I know that Skip hates on a lot of basketball players, he's come around with Russell Westbrook, and everything he said was 100% true, man. And also even Stephen A. Like, name me one time that the man was on a basketball court with a basketball and he it off, like took the gate, the day off, the game off, the practice off, the shoot around off. He doesn't. I remember watching him a couple years ago during Olympic practice, and Monty Williams was one of the assistant coaches, and Monty was like, "Hey man, you know, like this is supposed to be half speed." And Russ just looked at him like if it was a playoff game, like, "Bro, you better shut that shit up, bro, before I dunk on you." And like that's Russell Westbrook's brand. You know that he's going to give you maximum effort every single game. And if you have the opportunity to break a record or set a new record, that you go and do that. Only the greatest are able to do that or even be in position to do that. And if it's getting tongue-tied. If it is within grasp, you go ahead and you do that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with Russell going after the 16th rebound. You know, so obviously he got 20 things, but there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, I think D-Wade also said it best. Like, are we just gonna criticize this guy for everything? You know what I'm saying? Like, the only true gripe that I have with Russell Westbrook is decision making. That's the only thing. Every other aspect of his game, he has improved exponentially. He wasn't this great of a rebounder when he first got into the league. He became that. He wasn't this great of a passer. He became that. He wasn't this great of a shooter. And I'm not saying he's a great shooter, but I'm just saying he has improved. This guy, he puts in the work. And back-to-back years, he's averaged a triple-double. Does this not show that he's an Iron Man in this league?
Yeah.
I also believe a couple years ago, he set the record for fastest triple-double. I think he got it like in a quarter and a half. Like, man, look, man, I don't understand the hate that goes Russell Westbrook's way. At this point, I feel sad for him because it almost seems like regardless of whatever he does, he can. The only thing he can do is average a triple-double and win a championship. But for me, I know in basketball, there are always going to be great players that don't win. And he may be one of those guys, but I'll take Russell Westbrook over a lot of superstars. I've said that for years. Go ahead and check the record. We've been doing this show for some years. Go ahead and check the record. I'll take Russell Westbrook over a lot of people because you don't have to coach this guy up. You don't have to be like, hey, man, look, you got to take it personal. Hey, go get this guy. Hey, dude. No, hell no. You got to try to rein him down. Hey, look, Russ. I know you're hot. I know he's getting up under your skin now, but we need you to make them decisions. That's the only opportunity he has in this game, man. And people just really need to lay off of him, regardless if he's stat chasing or not. How many players can average a triple double? I rest my case.
B.
You need 16 rebounds. I agree with that, man. Like, this dude is doing something. We already witnessed history last year where he became the first player since Oscar to do it. But to be the first player ever to average a triple-double an entire season, and not only with this season, you add on, you know, quality players like Paul George and Carmelo and still do it. You know, last year it was kind of like, well, he had to do it because he was, like, the only dude. Fresh a remove year off of Kevin Durant leaving the squad. You have Victor Oladipo, who wasn't comfortable playing along Russell Westbrook in his show because we see what he's doing right now in Indiana. But for him to do that again this year, it's amazing. Like it's crazy. And like I said, I'm echoing my dad too because he's still salty about Nash getting the MVP 2 years in a row. He like. My dad, like, as far as I'm concerned, if Nash get it 2 years in a row, why not Westbrook? Like, this dude is doing something that, for one, I thought would never happen again. And for him to do it 2 years in a row, That's insane. Like, you act like doing – y'all go out there and try to average a double-double. Hell, better yet, try to get 10 points in a game. Like, that's tough. Like, that is hard to do on a consistent basis from a span of hooping from October to April, some nights back-to-back, playing basketball at this level against this competition, and you averaging that again? That's crazy, man. That is yeah, it's amazing how it's kind of getting like brushed under the rug a little bit. And I do feel like if it was somebody else that did this, you know, I think people would probably be losing their mind a little bit more. Rather if it was LeBron, if Kobe would have did it, I just think people would be losing their damn mind. But it's just for him to do that, I think it's amazing. Like, I'm like, I tweeted it earlier. I'm like, y'all, we just witnessed some crazy shit. We just witnessed some history. And, like, nobody is losing their shit over this. Like, this is crazy. I remember I lost my shit last year when he got a triple-double. I was like, wow. Like, that was a stat I thought was going to never happen. I had put that in the stratosphere of the Wilt Chamberlain averaging 40 and 25 rebounds for a season. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a stat I didn't think was going to happen. And this man did it. And he did 2 years in a row. It's crazy, man. That's nuts. And like people said, man, like this dude, he's one of probably the only players in the league right now that goes at you 150% all the time. This dude does not take no games off. There's one guy I would hate to say, hey, yo, be you guarding this dude for this game, because he comes at you all the time. He never lets up. Every single freaking game, man. I never seen Russell Westbrook take any plays off. And again, agreeing with FIFO, this has been my only gripe with him too. He got to get better to IQ. And I think at this point, he's been in the league for long enough. I think that's who he is. I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to make bonehead decisions. He's not going to have that IQ that we would expect him or we would hope for him to get. Because at this point, I think he's not going to ever get it. I think he's going to, this is the Russell Westbrook we're going to know. He's going to probably almost average triple-double again next year. Like, I don't see him letting off anytime soon. I still think he's going to play in his prime years for about at least a good little 3 to 4 more seasons. We're going to see Russell Westbrook at this level.
I would have went for it. If I needed 16 rebounds in the last game of the season, I would have went for it.
What's wrong? What's wrong with that? Go for it.
Exactly.
Make history.
Right, and I think a lot of people out there that are criticizing this need to really ask themselves and be honest. Like, if they had a chance to make history, would they have went for it as well? And, you know, let's be real. I think the teammates doing what they did, if they did it, they wanted to I think that shows how close-knit they are to be a part of it, but also to help him get there. So for me, yeah, I would have went for it, man. Like, it's never been done, you know, it's never been done back to back like that.
You think if Adrian Peterson knew he was some yards away from breaking a single season rushing record, I guarantee you AP would have went for that, because he didn't even know. I remember he didn't even know when they interviewed him after the game. They was like, you know, this many yards away. He was like, oh, really? Like, he didn't even know. And I guarantee you, if he knew, man, Adrian Peterson been running angry that whole game.
Yeah. So yeah, I think a lot of people are being disingenuous, but and I think a lot of other points that people were making when they look at the other games, like the other 80 games that set it up, and he just got to a point where it was statistically possible. So why not? So I think FIFO's right. He may go down as one of the greatest players to ever play the game, to never win a championship, but this accomplishment will be what puts him in the Hall of Fame, and they will be essentially his titles, because we'll probably, I won't say never, it's going to be hard for someone else to break this again. So, but yeah, anyway, I just wanted to get you guys thoughts about that, just seeing the reactions from everyone today. All right, man. Let's go ahead and do this, knock this out, this bracket. We're going to start with the East first. So we have the Raptors versus the Wizards. Beezy, who you got winning that series?
I think that's going to be a really good series, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm actually intrigued with a lot of these matchups, man. I think this is the first time in a long time. Usually things don't get spicy and juicy into the second round, but a lot of these first round matches, man, I'm pretty intriguing, and this is definitely one of them. Because you know, if we see the right Washington show up, I mean, we don't know which Washington is going to show up, but if the right Washington show up, this could be a dog out 7-game series, man. I really see this going 7, but I think I'm gonna give it to Toronto. I think, as much as I always don't trust Toronto, and that means don't trust them to make a run to get a championship. I mean, I still think I think Toronto can get out the first round against this frisky Washington Wizards squad. It's gonna be interesting, man. I know John Wall is back now. He's kind of coming back at the right time, but I want to know how much he's gonna play. You know, how is he close to 100%? Is he 100%? How the rest of the players gonna play? Bradley Beal, like. It seems like everybody's going to be all hands on deck. I don't think any team is suffering like a major injury. So, you know, that's one thing I always like when teams go into the battle 100% healthy, because I don't want no excuses. But I got Toronto. I got Toronto pulling this out. But if we saw flashes of how good Washington can be sometimes, but we just don't know how consistent they can keep it up in a 7-game series. If we see the good Washington, this is going to go 7. I see this definitely going 7.
What do you see it going right now?
A 5 in the possible. Do a spade style. 5 in the possible.
FIFO, what do you think, man? Raptors versus the Wizards. Neither team are playing particularly well right now. Who you got?
What B said in terms of not trusting Toronto is well documented. I don't trust those guys either, especially in the playoffs. Yep. But at this point, the way that they play in terms of Washington, I mean, how they play with John Wall, I think there's some disdain there. I think there was some truth to the guys liking to play without him because the ball moves a little bit more. And we saw it down the stretch when John Wall came back. You know, he missed Bradley Beal a couple times, and you know, when you're a pass first point guard, man, you gotta be a pass first point guard. And I think John Wall's jumper isn't where it needs to be, where he could just take over a game a la CP3. Instead of making plays, you're actually looking to score. And I think if John Wall isn't attacking the basket, he is a liability offensively. And because of those reasons, I trust Toronto enough to get out of the first round. And I think that in the playoffs, if you're having some chemistry issues, it's only going to be exacerbated. So at this point right now, I don't trust Washington, even though I like their pieces and how they try to construct this squad. But again, you know, I would be the type of GM that, after this season, I'd be blowing it up. I'd be trading Bradley Beal. I'd be trading John Wall. So I don't see how they win against Toronto this year. And I think it'll be interesting to see the type of offseason Washington has, depending on how bad they lose in that first round. I'll put it to you like this. They get swept, wholesale change is coming. If they go 6 or 7, we may see the same squad. But if they get swept and it's ugly, oh, yeah, things is going to change.
So right now, how many? What are you seeing?
I think Toronto could get them in 6.
Okay. I'm going Raptors too, mainly because the Wizards just haven't played well down the stretch. There was the game against Cleveland in particular is what stood out to me, and there was a play towards the end of the game where John Wall came down and he took a shot. I believe he missed it. And one of the Morris twins went up to him and said something to him. I think he thought he was open at the top of the key, and he wanted him to pass it. So Cleveland go ahead and score. So Washington coming back down again. John Wall got the ball. He basically does the same thing. He attacks the basket, jumps in the air, and looked back and threw the ball back to Morris, and Chetty stole the ball. And to me, that showed that there's definitely some chemistry issues and some a lack of trust. And I saw John Wall, instead of playing instinctively, he played with his head, thinking about the play before and trying to appease Morris instead of just doing what he does. So for that reason, for that right there, I'm going to take the Wizards because they have a lot of issues they needed to work out. And when he came back, they didn't get any better. They started losing before he got there. And then when he came back, it didn't help matters at all. So, yep, I'll go with the Raptors to win that one. I think it's going to be a sweep, though. I don't think the Wizards are going to win a game. All right, so let's go to the next matchup, Celtics versus the Bucks. This is a very interesting matchup for me because both teams, especially the Bucks. The Bucks are playing like complete trash. They fired Jason Kidd, and right now it seems like they fired the man for no apparent reason because they haven't improved at all. They got blasted by Philly last night, and it was just a lot of no effort. The Celtics, on the other hand, are completely beat up. So they're playing with guys we've never even heard of. FIFO, who do you have winning this series?
I got hold on, man. My dog tripping real quick.
Okay.
Gizmo!
This man taking everything. But I got, you know, I think this is the most intriguing matchup in the East. Because it can honestly go either way.
You can.
Obviously, if the Celtics were healthy, I'm 100% I'm going with the Celtics. But because they are so beat up, we're talking about your top two guys are out, that's going to be tough. Again, I don't want to go against the greatness of Brad Stevens. I think Brad Stevens alone can get you a playoff round. I think he's that great. Like I said, he's the Popovich of the East. And with Milwaukee, man, I don't get it. Remember, I questioned the Jason Kidd firing. I think that squad is not built right. I think that the Eric Bledsoe trade was amazing. They needed a true point guard. But I don't know what to make of this Milwaukee squad, man. You know, last year, me and B, we went to the and we watched Milwaukee and Toronto, and I was like, yo, they're going to take a step up. And the first, I would say, third of the season, we saw that. But then they just kind of kept going downhill. And as great as Giannis is, I don't know if he can win you a playoff round yet. I know Jabari's back. Jabari looks nice. They got, like I said, Eric Bledsoe. They got Chris Middleton. They got a lot of guys, man. I don't know if they can put it together. So in this matchup, I'm going to go Boston and seven.
B, who you got?
Yeah, man, Milwaukee. I don't know if Milwaukee tanked against Philly because they wanted to play against an injury Boston Celtics squad or what. dang, this is really intriguing, man. You know, I know one thing. Boston would definitely be playing with that dog in them because I got to go with Boston. I mean, just because of the coach. That's the edge I'm giving them. Even though they don't have Kyrie, don't have Gordon Hayward, but I think we might see the rise of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in this playoff, man, with those two guys. I think they're going to definitely show their ass, you know, on the basketball court. In this series, man, I think Brad Stevens gonna come up with a game plan, and he's gonna try to do somewhat to slow down Giannis, man. It's gonna be a task, but I think just because of the coach, I gotta go with Boston, and this one can go seven. I can see this one definitely going seven, man. And Boston having that edge with their home court, I say Brad Stevens gonna pull it off, but I wouldn't be surprised if that Milwaukee squad pull out and get the win, man. If Greek Freak just go crazy. And make himself a more of a household name, but I the slight edge I'm giving to Boston.
This series, I go back to what FIFO said earlier in the show. Who has the better players? And FIFO named Middleton, Jabari Parker, Giannis, Bledsoe. They have guys on that team. On the Celtics, their best player is the coach. Like, and based on what I'm hearing from you two, that's why you guys are picking the Celtics to win this series. And the lack of talent, even though Brown and Tatum can play, there's an experience factor, is why it'll go seven. For me, I'm going to go the Bucks. I think they'll win this series. I think Giannis, this is Giannis' moment, man, because you are facing an injury-riddled Celtics team. Yep. You have to win this series.
Good point. That's a good point, Cam.
There's no excuses. You need to win this series. You should win this series. So he has to show up, and everybody has to show up. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucks. Six. It can't go back to Boston, or it won't end well. So the next two in the East are really, really interesting.
Here you go, sliding the Celtics again. We'll see.
I'm not trying to be sneaky. I'm just saying. I'm following your methodology, FIFO.
But you know what? But you got to look at the level of greatness. And Brad's, I'm telling you, Brad Stevens is way up there. He's way up there. He's good enough for a round. And that's saying a lot. There's not many coaches that can do that.
He just got good enough for a round, though. Remember, he was losing in the first round, his first couple of times in the playoffs.
Of course. Just like any coach, any player. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to go through those lumps. You have to go through that adversity. And I think that the level of adversity that he's already faced this season, and for them to still finish number two, that speaks volumes, Ken. Like, look, man, all I know is that you've been sliding Boston all year. You've been saying that they've been lucky, that they're this, they're that. They're a good team, with or without their best players. And I think that because we still don't – Milwaukee still doesn't know what they are. Like, what's their identity? Like, are they a shooting team? Are they up and down team? Are they a defensive team? Like, what are they? You still have to question that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can even question what is Giannis truly? You know what I'm saying? He dominates a game, but he really dominates the stat sheet. But what is Giannis? You know what I'm saying? Like, what type of imprint is he really going to be able to make? And I think he, and again, I'm not trying to slight him. I think he's going to have some great games because me and B saw it last year. But can he take it to the next level consistently? You know what I'm saying? I think that's my biggest question, because I have to question that. And I also have to question how Milwaukee is going to try to play Boston. I'm taking Brad Stevens, man.
Celtics play hard. I give them that. I mean, and they have to, because, you know, there's a deficiency in talent. So we'll see if the Popovich of the East can outcoach the talent of the Bucks. I think I'll just continue to go in order of the seeds. So let's go with the Sixers versus the Heat. B, Rookie of the Year. Ben Simmons, I'm pretty sure he's going to get it. Versus Spoelstra, and I don't even know what to call the Heat, man, because they got so many people that do so many things. It's a really interesting team. But who you got winning that series?
I got Sixers. But the matchup I'm looking forward to seeing, and I hope they get the trash talking, is Hassan Whiteside and Joel Embiid. I hope them two will get the talking. Like, I want to see some centers clash in this playoffs, and this is a good chance to have some centers clash in the playoffs. People kind of forgetting Hassan Whiteside. Like, remember like 2 years ago, they was, you know, labeling him as, like, you know, one of the top centers. I mean, he still is, but, like, you know, it's just been so, like, you know, Rudy and Joel and Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan. It's like, people are not really talking about Hassan Whiteside. So
it's
his fault.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I would, and he seemed like he's healthy going into this playoff. So I want to see how Hassan Whiteside is gonna play, and how is he gonna step up in his playoffs going against another elite center in Joel Embiid. So I would love that's the matchup I'm like really leaning in on in this series, and I hope they get the trash talking. And this is gonna be this is going to be our introduction with Joel Embiid in the playoffs. Like, this is his moment. Like, these are the bright lights. This dude seemed to love the bright lights. You in the playoffs. Welcome to the playoffs, big fella. So let's see what you can do. Ben Simmons, let's see what you can do. You had a stellar rookie year, which I'm assuming you're going to win rookie of the year. And look, this is where – and you told Isaiah Thomas this. Ben Simmons said this. He wants to be one of the best ever. And how you submit your claim of being the best ever, this is the time right here when you're playing ball from mid-April to possibly June. This is where you stake your claim as being the best ever. So let's go. Let's go, Young Bucks.
You know who's playing well? Justice Winslow. It seems like he may be over the injury-riddled season he's had. He's playing well. I'm be curious to see how he impacts the game defensively. And yeah, we all know.
It is. He seems like he's starting to get his stride. He's trying to get his stride. You know, sometimes with players, you know, they one and done. Sometimes it takes them, you know, a couple years to get adjusted to the game. You know, the gameplay of the NBA, because it's a lot different from college. So sometimes some players, it just takes a little bit of time. You know, for them to get a little bit seasoned and groomed, and then you know maybe Justice Winslow might start being a key factor for not just for Miami, but just like a key player just in the NBA in general. So we'll see.
Yeah. So. All right, FIFO, I know you got the Sixers. How many games?
I think they can get them in six. When I look at the talent level of Miami, they got a lot of solid guys, but they don't truly have a star. And that's no slight to D-Wade, because D-Wade can still have moments. But he's a declined star. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't do it for five or six games out of a series anymore. At least I don't believe it. Now, I know in those five or six games, he still can have moments that can push the game either way. Obviously, Miami is more experienced just from a staff of the players' perspectives and everything. But man, you know how I feel about Philly, man. I've been talking about their two-headed monster for a minute. Markelle Fultz became the youngest player to get a triple-double. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see the number one the number one pick coming off the bench playing against second string guys. I think Philly does have a talent advantage, and we'll see. We'll see. I'm definitely going Philly in six. But I'm with B, though, in terms of the matchup to watch is Hassan versus Joel Embiid, because they're going to go at each other. That's popcorn.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. Man.
Well, Joel isn't playing in game one, at least as of right now, but he's bound to make an appearance at some point. So I'm with you guys. I'll prefer the Sixers to advance, and based on the talent that they have and the additions that they made, which really kind of propelled them in the second half, adding Ilyasova and Bellinelli. I think it really helped turn that team around and add to the bench and improve their three-point shooting. So give me the Sixers. I think it'll probably go seven. This might go seven. I think it'll take a win for the Sixers to acclimate to the playoffs and the bright lights. All right, so last series. I think this one is interesting too. Cavs versus the Pacers. It's LeBron versus Oladipo. My concern for the Cavs is the defense. But according to Tyronn Lue, he says he has a secret that he'll roll out to fix the defense in the playoffs. He said that last year, by the way. So he has another secret that's going to fix their defense. I think this is a scary matchup for them because of the way they play defense. But I think the Cavs, I'm not going to bet against LeBron, but I think the Cavs will probably get them in five. I think the Cavs will get them in five. That's who I'm going with. Who are you going with, B?
Yeah, I'm going to go Cavs with five, man. Yeah, you know, LeBron has yet to lose in the first round. I think he's going to continue that streak this season. I think Oladipo is going to have a good series. I think he's going to ball out and kind of stake his claim in his home state, Indiana. But yeah, it's, you know, you're not. This would be the definitely the shocker upset of the NBA playoffs if the Cavs, because of their lack of team defense, don't get past the Indiana Pacers. But yeah, just like I've been preaching this too, Ken. Yeah, like they team defense worry me. They are fourth. They tie for fourth in points against you know opponents point scoring against them. They tied with a I think the average of 109.9, and they tied for fourth. And this is like Jesus Christ. But you know, playoff. More intense, step up. So I'm assuming that the Cavaliers will step it up defensively in the playoffs. So, but yeah, I got Cavs in five, maybe six if they have those little, you know, they good for those little slacker games, like just like a slacking game. So they good for those. But you know, overall, I got Cavs to win this.
You know, the Cavs are rolling, man. Like they are, in spite of the loss, a very very hot team. And they seem to have figured some things out offensively in spite of some of the injuries that they had. So they're coming in with their confidence high. But what do you think, FIFO? Like, are you concerned about this matchup for the Cavs, 4-5 matchup versus the Pacers?
Nah, I'm not concerned. They got LeBron, man. In the first round, that's all you need. It don't matter who your head coach is, no matter who the other four players are on the court, they got LeBron, and they don't have anybody. Look, I always say it. You don't have to have a player that's better than LeBron, but you have to be able to physically match him. And, you know, it ain't Lance Stephenson. It ain't Oladipo. It ain't nobody on that squad. So LeBron is going to run wild. You know what I'm saying? As long as guys can hit open shots, like you're not even going to have to create for yourself. Just if you can hit open shots, Cleveland will run away with this. I see it in five, just because I don't want to disrespect Oladipo and the progression that Indiana has made, in addition to the fact that the Cavs are not a dominant squad. Like, let's be honest. Like, the only reason why we're giving the Cavs a shot at anything is because of number 23. It doesn't have to do with their scheme. It doesn't have to do with Lou being back. It doesn't have to do with the trade midseason. It doesn't have to do with none of that. It all has to do with LeBron James. So as long as they have him, I believe that they're going to win, especially in the first round. So, I look, five games, man.
Well, shout out to Nate McMillan. That brother's done a good job, man, coaching that team, getting them to the playoffs, and with, you know, the things he's done to – take advantage of Oladipo's skill set and to improve him and make him a name in the NBA for NBA heads. All right, so that wraps up the East Coast playoff bracket. So we're going to move on over to the West Coast. So we're going to do the same thing with the West the way we did with the East. So we're going to start with the number one seed, the Rockets versus the Timberwolves. As we mentioned earlier in the show, the Timberwolves had to play in order to get this matchup, and they won versus the Nuggets, and this is their reward. They get the number one seed in all of the NBA, the team that has home court advantage throughout the playoffs. We've talked throughout the year about the Rockets, along with the Raptors. The Rockets are the West Coast version of the Raptors, or let's say Harden and CP3 are. There's been some concerns from the coach and from their play down the stretch, where it seemed like the Rockets didn't look as good as they used to. And now you get a team like the Timberwolves, who has a veteran in Jimmy Butler. Jeff Teague has made it to the Eastern Conference Finals before. They got Gibson, who has playoff experience, and they have Cat. Do they have a shot against the Rockets, FIFO?
They sure do. Look, I'm going to go Houston in seven. I'm not going to go against the number one overall team. They're number one overall for a reason. But at the end of the day, you got to look at the matchup, man. I like Clint Capella, but he's limited, and he has his hands full with Cat. Oh man, my dog is really on one right now. Hold on, Gizmo. I think that Jimmy playing defense, locking up James Harden as best as anybody can is gonna be critical for Minnesota to give him fits. I think that Andrew Wiggins, Houston's gonna have issues with that matchup. I just think that if we look at player for player, Minnesota matches up. Now, if we're talking about style of play, and obviously Houston wants to get up and down, shoot a ton of threes, that's not necessarily Minnesota's game, but Minnesota's game is a playoff-style basketball game. And there's going to be stretches where they're going to slow down. And if you're going to have one-on-one James Harden, right, setting up everything, who better but to guard this man than Jimmy Butler? You know what I'm saying? And or Andrew Wiggins. To me, I like the matchup, but I just think Houston has too much firepower. I think that when we're looking beyond the top two, three guys on the squads, Houston just has more power. So that's the reason why I'm going with them in seven. But I think Minnesota's going to give them big-time fits.
B, that's what are your thoughts, man? Seven? Seven for you two?
No, I got Rockets in six. I got six. I think they're gonna close.
Just one game.
Yeah, just one game. Yeah, just one game. I think Minnesota is going. They going, you know, with that experience from Jimmy Butler, and we've seen what Jimmy Butler defensively had done to James Harden. You know, he's done a good job. There's been times where, you know, the Jimmy Butler and Chicago Bulls did a good job of containing James Harden in the fourth quarter. You know, when it mattered the most, and we see James Harden run scared in the fourth quarter, like, damn. So I think Jimmy Butler's gonna love that matchup. He's gonna be up for the challenge, for the task. So that's gonna be good. Yes, I don't matchup, because you remember, this is the playoffs. So coaching and matchups plays a big difference. And then when it comes to the NBA playoffs, all that records and all that stuff is out the door. And I don't see a matchup. It's gonna be a hard time for Houston matching up with Cat Williams. That's gonna be a tough matchup. So, because Cat, I can see, I mean, Cat, I see Cat Williams.
You said Cat
Anthony Towns, Cat, Car Anthony Towns, I see him having a field day with Houston's front court, you know. But this is first time in the playoffs, which I'm excited to see too. I think either you or FIFO mentioned it earlier about Car Anthony Towns being this is playoff introduction, chance to make himself a household name. And I think he's going to go all out. I think Minnesota's one of those ACs where it's like, we playing with house money. We don't care. You know how certain AC teams, you'd be like, yeah, you know they done. But it's certain sometimes. It's been some years where AC, it's like, look, they playing with house money. They don't care. They're going to go all out. And they're going to give Houston Rockets all they got. So
you remember that the Warriors team that took out the Mavs?
Yeah.
That was the 8-1 matchup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because they was playing with house money. They didn't care. They were just like, well, they counting us all out anyway. We ain't even supposed to be here. So – yeah, man, I think that's going to be the same way with this Minnesota squad. I think they Ty Gibson, they all playing, man. They going to come to play, and they going to push Houston. It's going to be well needed for Houston to get pushed like this, but they going to push Houston. Matchups like this is where I wish the NBA, the first round, go back to the best of five, because can you imagine the pressure for Houston Rockets? Like, say if they lose that first game, oh, my God, like, That's the worst thing you never want to do as a team that got home court advantage is to lose that first game at home in the best of five series. Things change quick, boy. But yeah, I got Houston in six.
They cannot let this series go seven, because if this series goes seven, I'm worried about the Rockets. I'm worried about the Rockets. Like you said, B, they're playing with house money. We know the history of Harden. I will be concerned. Now, CP3 has played in some big games, but he's lost a game seven, too, in weird ways. So I would be concerned if that went seven. I don't think it will. I, too, am going with the Rockets. I think it's probably going to go at least five. I'll give Minnesota one at home. The Timberwolves offense worries me at times, So that's where my concern, and I think, you know, if the Rockets manage to get up and down the court and they're connecting on the 3-point shots, it's over. So they got to keep it close, slow it down, like you said, FIFO, and getting into a back and forth game. Having a guy like Cat that you can give it to in the post gives them an advantage that the Rockets don't have. So, but nah, I think the Rockets handle their business. At least they better. They better. Moving on to the next round, I think the Warriors got lucky to face the Spurs in the first round. That'll give Curry a chance to get healthy, and they don't have to deal with Russell Westbrook. It was, you know, Monday, it was shaping up that they would face the Thunder. Well, they don't get the Thunder. They get a Spurs team without Kawhi Leonard. B, how many games is this one going?
I wish Kawhi Leonard was playing 100% because this would be very, very interesting. You know, out of respect for Greg, Pop, I say Spurs would get two games. I say Warriors in six. Especially, you know, with no Steph Curry, we're going to see if Durant's going to step up. Like, a lot of people don't think he will step up and be the alpha dog because they're not going to have Curry this first round. But, man, if Kawhi was, like, just so happened to be 100% healthy and, you know, Spurs are playing this series, this would be very interesting, man. But, I you know, just out of respect to the great Greg Pop, man, I can see them getting two games. And they're both going to probably be, like, a home, you know, both of their home games. I can see them getting, you know, both of their home games from the two wins. But, yeah, I got Golden State. I got Golden State. They're going to survive. They're going to survive the great Greg Pop in the first round and get past in six.
FIFO, for whatever reason, nobody's talking about this the way they should. And, you know, I think it's because it's not LeBron. But the Warriors have lost 7 of 11 or 7 of 10. They are not playing well at all. They just got blown out by the Jazz by 40.
Yep.
40.
And if that was the Cavs, oh, you're right, Ken. The media would be going nuts.
Right. Now, they're making a lot of excuses, which you can say are legit. Complacency. We're just going to rest up. We're going to get ready for the playoffs. We're stuck in the number 2 seed anyway, so it don't really matter. But 7 of 10 or 7 of 11, whatever the number is concerning to me. Is it concerning to you, and do you think the Spurs got a shot in this series?
The Spurs with a healthy Kawhi, definitely. This version of the Spurs, no. But I think to answer your initial question, that's the difference between being the best player from the moment you step on the court versus arguably the second, third, or top three, top five player. You know, it's just the level of scrutiny that LeBron has we've never seen. And I think that that's just goes again to LeBron's greatness. But in terms of the Warriors and San Antonio, you know, San Antonio's decimated. I can make an argument Golden State is relatively bored with the regular season. And obviously this is where they make their money. Obviously they got to step up. You know, they've only won 4 games in their last 11 attempts. So that is not good at all. That is not championship basketball. That's not how you want to go into the playoffs. But if there is any team in the West that you would want to play right now to try to get your stuff together, it would be the San Antonio Spurs for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know that they're going to play hard. They're going to make you earn it regardless of whoever suits up for San Antonio. That's number one. Number two, it's a Greg Popovich team. So to out-scheme and to outwork his team is going to just elevate you and get you more mentally and physically prepared for the next round. But I'm not just throwing it away. You know, if I'm going to give the Popovich of the East all of the credit, I got to give the original Pop some credit. So I think Golden State wins it in six, and Pop is really going to coach his ass off to get those two. And you know what? It may go 7 just because, just out of respect. You know, we already know that the playoffs are a whole nother level. And if Golden State comes out slow, that's going to be a problem for them, a big time problem. So I'm going to go 6, Golden State. They just need to get it together. I honestly believe it's as simple as getting healthy and then just getting on the same page. And when you have your most important player back, I've been saying it, Steph Curry, and he's able to spread out the defenses and do everything he does, everything gets back in place. Everything, again, becomes a well-oiled machine. And I think we will see who we thought we were going to see.
Oh, man. Let's talk about lucky. I think there's more to the losing streak than most. I have concerns about KD. I have concerns about this bench. At one point, I thought the bench playing the young guys like Quinn Cook getting that experience would be helpful in the playoffs. But it's just Draymond, something seems off with him. KD's going to put up numbers, but will it be enough? I think drawing the Spurs, yeah, you're right, FIFO. I think this was a good one for them because it allows them to tune up to get ready for the next round. Curry will come back healthy, and then the Warriors are back. And when you look at the Spurs, you're relying on L.A. and Rudy Gay. I don't know. That's a little iffy for me. But I somehow feel that Pop's burning desire to beat the Warriors will finally come true. So I'm going with the upset. I'm going to go with the Spurs in six. I'm going to go with the Spurs in six. So, yeah.
Whoa.
So that's your upset pick of the playoffs, huh?
But in six, though, Ken? Six?
Right. In six?
Look, I respect the upset. If you're picking upset, it's a pop.
But six? At least seven. Damn.
Ooh, all right. Okay, so let's say your scenario happens. Are there wholesale changes in Golden State next year?
I don't think so. I think they'll look at this year and blame it on the injuries. I mean, they've been banked up. They never could get into a rhythm as a unit coming down the stretch. So I don't think so. I will be curious to see what they do with Durant's contract, though, now that he's going to opt out and restructure it. But the reason why I didn't go seven was because I think going back to Golden State for game seven may be a little bit too much for the Spurs. But yeah, I think this is if the Warriors are going to lose, now is the time while they're not playing well. But if everything plays out the way you said it, FIFO, and that's the more probable outcome, then they'll be ready, man. They'll be ready. They'll be ready. So, and you know, I think they'll be ready to go to make another run at it. So, yeah, that's who I got. We'll see what happens. Next matchup, Blazers versus the Pelicans. Lillard versus AD. Man, this one – you know what? Shout out to Alvin. I know I said it before, man, but really, you know, we wondered about the brother on this show last year. We thought he was going to get up out of there because he couldn't. He just wasn't winning. But shout out to the brother, man, to get this team to the playoffs, especially after you lost DeMarcus Cousins. That being said, FIFO, who do you have winning this series? The Blazers, mind you, just won their first game out of five, so they're 1-4 in the last five games. Who do you got?
You talking to me?
Yeah, FIFO.
Oh, my bad. Blazers who?
Pelicans.
Pelicans. I got the Blazers in five. I think they got way too much firepower. Dame Lillard, I think he's out here to prove something. CJ McCollum is obviously stepped up. And I don't think the Pelicans with Drew and Rajon, that backcourt, man, is just it's just paltry at best, man. And I don't think they match up. Obviously, AD's a matchup nightmare for anybody. I think AD's going to get his numbers. Now, it would definitely be a different conversation if they had DeMarcus. I might not be picking the Blazers. But since DeMarcus isn't here, I'm definitely going Blazers in five, possibly six.
Is it Dame time, B?
It's always Dame time. Look, you don't need to say, oh, it's the playoffs for Dame to step up. Or, you know, you don't need to say anything. You don't even got to say anything to Dame. So it's Dame time. Whenever he steps out on the court, it's Dame time. But, yeah, just I was going to mention this too, big piggyback off FIFO. Yeah, it is a little bittersweet that DeMarcus Cousins is not 100% healthy going into this series, because this is definitely – this would have been another one of those series where I'm like, it can go either way if we had 100% DeMarcus Cousins playing, which that hurts. But, yeah, I got to go with Blazers, man. Blazers in five. I think they're gonna take this in five, man. Dame time. I don't even have to say Dame time. Dame gonna definitely do his thing. I think it's great. I know Anthony Davis is happy to be back in the playoffs. I think this is first time since they got swept to Golden State a few years back. So I know he's happy to be back in there. Rondo's been playing good. So, you know, I can't go against CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard in this matchup, man. I think them boys gonna come out and play, and we're gonna be looking at a Portland Golden State second round.
They looked motivated last night going against the Jazz. CJ got it working. Lillard got it working.
Because that was for the three seed. They was playing for the three seed.
So in spite of their struggles coming down the stretch, that's all you need, right? And here they are. And I'm with you, FIFO. That backcourt, Rondo and Jrue Holiday, it just didn't work out this year. And for me, unless Etwan Moore, who is one of the guys they have coming off the bench, who hits a lot of threes and can get hot, does something, and Meritich does something, I think this will be over in four. AD, I really would like to see the Pelicans win, but I would prefer, like you guys, if they did it with Cousins. So that being said, unless AD goes to a level that we haven't seen yet, This one will be over quick. All right, last matchup in the Western Conference, Thunder and the Jazz. So the Thunder went from the 7th seed to the 4th seed after everything played out last night, and they get the Jazz. Now, they beat the Jazz 3-1 in the regular season, but the Jazz still is a very, very tough team with Gobert in the lineup anchoring that defense. B, who do you have winning this series, Thunder or the Jazz?
Just because OKC is playing good right now, I got them taking a series. Damn, I don't think I picked no lower seeds to win the series throughout this whole. But you know, playoffs is different than NCAA, man, because you got to beat a team four times. But I think. Ooh, man. Yeah, I got OKC to take this one, man. I think Russell Westbrook by himself without, you know, Kevin Durant, I think he's going to finally lead a team and get past, or, you know, complete a round, get past a round himself, you know, because you know what happened last year. He lost to the Rockets. But I think he's going to finally get past and advance to the next round with it being all on him, because we already know what he's going to do. Young man Donovan Mitchell, this is a rookie. Show hate you won the Piston, but you know this is your first year. You in the playoffs. You got one of the better defensive presses in Rudy Gobert playing, and you know, see what you guys gonna do. That's gonna be really interesting. But I got OKC. How many games? With them having home court advantage, it can go six. I can see OKC procrastinating around and Russell Westbrook doing bonehead Russell Westbrook plays and they going to seven, but overall, I still got OKC advancing.
Yeah, you know, this is a good matchup because you never know what you're going to get with the Thunder. But I'm going to go with the more experienced team, defaulting back to what FIFO said earlier. When you look at the rosters, who has the most talent? And that would be the Thunder. Billy Donovan concerns me, as he has for quite some time now. And one thing I'm looking for is how are they going to utilize Melo? Because I think the playoffs are made for Melo. And I'll be interested to see what they do with him. And I think this would be a good series to kind of work on a game plan if they have one. against the soon-to-be Rookie of the Year, Donovan Mitchell. But that being said, when I look at the Jazz, man, this could be a coming-out party, like, for real, for real. Remember when D-Wade burst on the scene in similar fashion? He could really make a name for himself if he shows up and plays well, and with him being their main guy, I think he will, but you just never know when the playoffs come, man. Like, those lights, man, it's completely different with so much on the line. So so that is why I'm just going to go ahead and go with the Thunder. And I think I'm with you, B. I think they'll mess around and Westbrook will do some Westbrook things, and Billy Donovan will screw up somewhere, and the Jazz will mess around and get a game or two. So I have this one going six. What do you think, FIFO? Who you got? What do you think about this matchup? Who you got winning this one?
I got OKC. They have more talent. I don't see how Utah will overcome Westbrook and PG and Melo. I don't see how they do that. Now, do I think that this series can be sloppy? I think we'll see that in spurts. But overall, I'm going to keep it short, simple to the sweet, simple to the point. OKC in six.
All right. That's it, everybody. That is our first round pickup preview. We just gave you all of the teams that we think will advance to the next round. What I want to do from here is I actually recorded all of that and I put it in the bracket. And so what I'm going to do is we're just going to talk through this real quick. And we're just going to pick the winners from the winners of the first round. And we're just going to walk it all the way to the finals. This will be the Dead End Sports bracket, official bracket, so to speak. And obviously things can change. So we're not going to change this bracket, but we'll probably just come back and preview round two based on the winners and losers of that. So out west, we all picked the Rockets and the Thunder to advance. Who do you guys have winning that series? Who's going to win that one, B?
Between who?
The Rockets and the Thunder. And we don't really have to get into, like, long explanations or anything like that. We're just
okay. Rockets.
What about you, FIFO?
You said who, Rockets and who?
Rockets, Thunder.
Second round?
Yeah, second round.
I take Rockets and six.
All right. So we'll do that. Rockets and six. Second round, West. We all picked the Blazers, and you two picked the Warriors. So Blazers, Warriors it is. Who do you guys have winning that series? What do you think, FIFO? Curry should be back.
Blazers, Warriors. You know what, man? I think this is the upset. If the Warriors are going to get upset, it's going to be they ain't going to average like 40 against them boys. And I think out of every team in the NBA, he disrespects Golden State. He don't give a damn about them boys. I think he hates them. And I think he's going to have a monster series against them.
B?
Yeah, FIFO got a point, because, you know, Dame Lillard, he's been obsessed with Warriors, and whenever he's like a bull. Whenever he sees Warriors, it's like red, and he just goes for the kill. But I just think overall, if Curry comes back, don't know how much of a, you know, if he's going to be 90%, 100%, 80%, 70%. I think this is what everyone back. I think I say it, Golden State still have too much talent for Blazers, man. But I can see that going seven. I can definitely see that going seven games. I see Damian Lillard pushing them boys and trying to put them boys in the shoulders and carry that team to beat them. But it's going to be a seven-game drag-out series. Not drag-out, but like a hard-fought series.
I'll go now, you know, for everybody, this was my upset pick. This is also in the second round, FIFO's upset pick. But based on what we have in this particular matchup, I'm with you, B. my concerns with Portland would be the rest of their players not named Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. So I'd say Warriors in six. All right, so out east, Celtics, Sixers. B, who do you think will win that one?
Sixers gonna pull that off. Yeah, you know, I mean, not having Kyrie, that's when it's gonna show it in. I think Sixers is gonna pull that one out. And especially if Joel Embiid get back into the groove and get grooving. I know he's been kind of sitting out with injury, but I think he's eager to come back. They advance to the second round. Joel Embiid gonna be even hyper for that. And yeah, I got Sixers taking that series, getting them to the conference finals.
How many games?
Six.
What about you, FIFO?
Sweep for the Sixers.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm actually with you on that one. Yeah, I think their talent just overwhelmed them. All right, so the next matchup. Oh, how did I pick that? This should be the Raptors. Raptors, Cavs, second round. Cavs. Everybody.
Yeah, Cavs.
Yeah,
Cavs.
I know nobody trusts the Cavs. So, sweep or five games or six? What do y'all think?
Five.
All right, so we'll do that. All right. So, we talked about it, the possibilities of it happen. So, now, based on everything that we picked so far, we have a Sixers-Cavs matchup to go to the finals. B, you still sticking with LeBron?
Yep, Cavs and seven.
Seven? Okay.
Yeah, Cavs and seven. It's gonna be the heartbreak. It's going to be the heartbreak that Philly needs.
FIFO?
I'm going to go with B. Because right. I've been saying experience. So I'm going to go with B.
All right, so that's it. Cavs and seven. The last one, Rockets, Warriors. this is crazy. So, I know this is, let the record show for everybody listening. On this one, the Warriors doesn't exist on Rav's bracket. But we just went with the majority of odds, of course, if you guys haven't figured that out yet. So, Rav, Warriors, Rockets, who you got?
I'm going to say the Rockets, and this is not Golden State hate. I don't know how healthy they're going to be throughout, and I think if they even have one injury, Houston needs to pounce on them. They have to pounce on them. So I'm going Houston 7.
B.
I'm sticking with my original beginning of the year prediction. We're going to be Cavs versus Warriors Part 4 in the finals. I still don't trust Rockets. I think it's going to be some way Rockets is going to disappoint us. James Harden and company is going to disappoint us. And, you know, at least this will be CP3's first time in the Western Conference Finals. But I think, you know, I must still go with – I just think Golden State was bored. I think they're going to turn it up a notch or two in this playoffs. And, you know, I got a Warriors to Cavs Finals Part 4.
I'm going with FIFO. I'm going with FIFO. I just think the last time, I'm with FIFO. Injuries. And I don't know how healthy Curry will be. And then you have to chase Paul or Harden all over the court. That's not going to be good. So, all right. So we have Cavs, Rockets, for it all. B, who you got? Who would you pick out of that matchup?
Ooh, man. Yeah, because I'm trying to look at, like, the matchups. I'm trying to look at, like, the matchups of each position. Man. So if that was to happen. D'Antoni and company might get their first ring, man. First championship since Hakeem.
Wow. Okay.
I'm looking at the bench. I'm looking at the bench, looking at the role players. You know, Houston, they got enough long guys to throw different bodies at LeBron, so that'd be interesting. Man, just the fact, just because I don't trust in that particular matter, if Cleveland defense get them to the finals, they poor defense still get them to the finals against a firing offensive squad like the Houston Rockets, man, I see Houston winning this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think Houston, I think CP3 and I think we have finally, you know, we finally won't have to question Harden no more or whatever. And D'Antoni at that, because we've seen a lot of great D'Antoni teams that don't, that just can't get over the hump. So, man, I think 2018 would be a shock for everyone if this was to happen. Pocket.
FIFO. Will LeBron lose to James Harden?
Hell no. I don't see it. I think, you know, I don't think LeBron fears anybody, but I think deep down he knows Golden State just has a bit too much for what he has coming with him. But I think if he sees anybody other than that, I think he's licking his chops. And I think we're just going to elevate LeBron to a whole nother level. If it's not Golden State at 100%, I'm picking the Cavs all the way if they make it.
I think for LeBron to get elevated and holding another level, though, he gotta beat that Golden State squad. If he was to find a way to beat that Golden State again with that squad, with Durant and them, and beat them, I think that would elevate him.
Well, here's the thing. I think LeBron's at the level where any and every championship will elevate him, but it's like if he beats that Golden State squad, it's like two levels.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, it's even. Yeah, more.
If he beat that Golden State squad, though, man, that's some other level shit, man. Like, yeah, if he beat that, even if he don't get no more championships after he beat that Golden State squad, if they beat Golden State this year and he beat that squad, to me, I think that's immense LeBron. I think he don't need to win another championship. Like, if he beat this Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Draymond, and Klay Thompson squad, he.
Yeah, I just don't have the Warriors in the finals either way I look at it. Because I actually think OKC may pop the Rockets and then they would take out the Warriors. But anyway, I guess I'm the tiebreaker. And I'm in a way, I just can't trust James Harden on the biggest stage. Like, he'll finally get here, but man. That experience, I'm just going to go with LeBron, man. I'm going to go with LeBron. I think he will win it. I think everything we've said about James Harden will come back. Although, you know what? It's funny. I forget that James Harden actually been to a finals before. I actually forgot that for a minute. That's funny. I'll go with LeBron. So, all right. So, we'll keep that. That'll be our Dead End Sports bracket. So this is not our individual brackets, by the way. This is just us coming together, talking it through for those of you listening. So anyway, that's it, man. First round preview of the NBA playoffs. The playoffs kick off this weekend. And we got about 2 weeks of this to go through and then before we see round two. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about between now and then. And that's that. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, leave a review, share the show, follow us on Twitter, social media, all that stuff. And we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.